Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of John. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're going to begin today the study of the Gospel according to John. There are four Gospels that recount the story of Jesus Christ. Each of these books gives us a unique perspective on the life of our Lord and Savior. They were written between AD 55 to 65, or thereabouts, except for John's Gospel, the one that we're going to be studying. This Gospel was written last. It was written sometime between 85 to 90 AD, that is, Anno Domini, or after Christ, or the year of our Lord, if you will. When we think about the Gospels, we see that the Gospel of Matthew presents undeniable evidence that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah for the Jews, the King of the Jews. Matthew forms the joining link between the Old and New Testament, focusing on the fulfillment of prophecy. Through a dramatic and action-packed sequence of events, the Gospel of Mark shows us that Jesus is the servant. Luke's Gospel was written to give a reliable and precise record of Christ's life, revealing not only his humanity, but his perfection as a human. And then the Gospel of John gives an up-close and personal look at Christ's identity as the Son of God. And so it is John that we're going to be studying in these next sessions. John showing Jesus Christ as the very Son of God. The Gospel of John is noticeably different from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It is distinct. Now, it's not only the last of the four Gospels that was written, and it's the last of the four Gospels in the canon of Scripture as they're listed here in the New Testament, but it is also not one of the synoptic Gospels. A synoptic Gospel is Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and those give a synopsis of the life of Christ. What we do note that there are three differences that we want to consider before we get into the study of the book of John itself. Often a discourse follows an incident in the life of Christ. And that discourse, that write-up that John would give, discusses the implications of the incident. As has been referenced often, the thirst of Jesus at Jacob's well is mentioned, followed by the discourse of Christ on the living water. You can find that in John chapter 4. Or how about the feeding of the 5,000 being followed by the discourse on the bread of life in chapter 6? Secondly, in other Gospels, the miracles are normally used to reveal Jesus' power. But in this book of John, the miracles are usually teaching signs, such as John chapter 2:11 and John 20, verse 30. A message follows each sign or each miracle. And then third, John's purpose is unique, and his interpretation of the life of Christ is unique compared to the other three. The length of Jesus' public ministry is usually calculated from the Passovers mentioned in John's Gospel, from chapter 2, verse 13, and chapter 6, verse 4, and chapter 11, verse 55. If the feast mentioned in 5:1 is also a Passover, his ministry lasted a little over 3 years. If not, it lasted a little over 2 years, and most of us would believe that it lasted about 3.5 years. Now, John does not go into himself. In fact, he begins, as we will see in just a moment, with the very beginning, but not the beginning of John, but the beginning of all things. He was accepted as the author. It has been questioned, of course, as most everything has about the Bible. Since his name is not mentioned as I am John, the writer of this gospel, and it was not mentioned in such a fashion. However, tradition and the early church leaders all believe that this was written by John, the son of Zebedee. He was considered to be the beloved disciple, and he was with Jesus at the Transfiguration. There were three there, Peter, James, and John. And by purpose of elimination, we see that it was John who wrote this book. He's distinguished from Peter, and he was also distinguished from James, because James was slain around AD 40. He was a martyr of the church about AD 40, and this book was not written until AD 85 or AD 90. And so we see him as being the beloved disciple, and this is one of the many reasons why we believe that John is the author of the book that bears his name. John had a purpose in writing this book, and he gave a theme for it as well. The theme was indicated in chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the last verse of the gospel proper in chapter 20, verse 31. It's this: the incarnation of the eternal Word and Son of God, himself God, in Jesus Christ. And we go further under Schofield's writing to reveal God in the terms of a human life, that as many as believe on him as the Christ, the Son of God, may have eternal life. The prominent words that you find in the Gospel of John are the words believed and life. So keep those two words in mind as we study the Gospel of John: believed and life. Those are very important. The key words include believe and life, and they also include the word signs. The word signs is used 17 times in John. It's often translated as miracle, but it is the word signs. Throughout the other Gospels, you have in all three other Gospels, you have it mentioned only 28 times. There are teaching signs, and they are the miracles that are mentioned there in John 17 times. And then we speak of the word believe, as we were mentioning there. It appears 98 times in the Gospel of John. In the other Gospels, only 29 times in all three of them combined. Or I should say 28 times. No, 29 times. That's right. The count is 29. So belief results from the signs. We see that often in the book of John. Also, the word life, as we mentioned, the word life is used 34 times in John, only 13 times in the other Gospels. And this word life is always closely related to faith and believe. And so we see that John's purpose was evangelistic. He wanted people to know the life of Christ and to know who Christ was, that he was the very Son of God, and to believe on Christ Jesus would mean salvation and life everlasting. That was his attempt, that was his theme, that was his design, that was his argument, and that was his purpose of writing the Gospel of John. And so we will be seeing how he presents the deity of Christ from the very first verse. Now, there are many outlines of John, and we can go into them. We've got many that we can mention, and probably during the course of our study, we will mention several of them. I like outlines. They help me in my study, and I know that they are helpful in most everybody's study of the Word. But to spend time in the outlines only and not in the Word would defeat our purpose. I want to begin now in the reading of the Word. The Gospel according to St. John, verse 1. And allow me, if you will, please, to read a portion of this and then comment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now we stop there at verse 5, so we can comment on this logos, this word. Logos is the Greek word for it. The idea behind the title, and that is a title given to Christ, that is the Word. The idea behind the title, give us God's revelation of Himself to humanity. Now, where the term came from? Well, it's Greek, but also the Hebrews would have called it wisdom as well as the Word. And so the wisdom of God and the Word of God is the same. In the beginning was the Logos, the very Word. And this is the title of Jesus Christ Himself. The Greek term is a thought or concept. It's the expression or utterance of that thought. It's a designation of Christ. It's a title for Christ. In Him, in Christ, are embodied all the treasures of the divine wisdom, the collective thought of God. He is from eternity, but especially in His incarnation, the utterance or expression of the person and thought of God Himself. In the being, person, and work of Christ, deity is seen. Another way to say is that we see that God's love, and God is love, God's love made manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When is the beginning? We do not have an understanding. Our minds are too small to have an understanding of eternity. And so we have to have a beginning and an ending. We have to have an Alpha and an Omega. And that, of course, is God, the beginning and the ending. But God is also transcendent from time and space, in which we have what we know as our lives. God is above that and beyond that. He is in eternity, and He dwells in eternity. And someday soon we shall as well dwell in eternity if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We will dwell with Christ in eternity, for eternity. And that means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never ending. And so when John is using the term in the beginning, he is telling us that from eternity, if we knew a way to express it, we would say from the beginning of eternity, but there is no way to express the beginning of eternity because eternity is forever. The message, the messenger, the hearers are all here in these first two verses showing forth the deity of Christ Jesus. The key idea is the Word. Remember, in the Old Testament, it was the Word of God that created. Creation was by the very Word of God. And God said, let there be light, and God said, and so therefore it was. The Scriptures, of course, are also called the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself is the Word and is God. So we've got Scripture, we've got Jesus Christ, we've got the very spoken Word that God gave us, as well as the written Word. Jesus Christ being the Word of life, as well as the bread of life, as well as being the water of life. Because you see, Jesus Christ is where all life originates. And so in these two verses, we see the beginning of the book of John. He doesn't talk about himself. As we said, there's no mention of, hi, I'm John, and I'm writing this. I'm the son of Zebedee. I'm one of the sons of thunder. No, he didn't say that. He does present very forcefully the fact of the deity of Jesus Christ from the very first verse. He didn't want to be detracted from his presentation of Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Matthew has him as the Messiah, Mark as the servant, Luke as the human being. Here we have him as God, the very God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see Christ, ever existent, always eternal, and always with the Father, and very God himself. The same was in the beginning with God. This all began at eternity past, with our futile understanding and limited understanding, we see that God is presented here as being with his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and that Christ, being the Word, was the impetus, was the force, was the responsible being for creation. And so John wants it to be seen and be known that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, God the Son. Not just a Son of God, we are called sons of God. Not just a Son of God, but the very Son of God and God the Son. And that was what was so important for John to present, because there was already by this time, AD 85 and 90, there was already by this time folks who were trying to discourage the truth of Christ's deity. They wanted to say that he was a good fellow. They wanted to say he was a reasonable prophet. They wanted to say he was a fine rabbi. They wanted to say that he lived an exemplary life. And so when they talked about Christ, they were talking about him in those terms, but they were not talking about him as the very Son of God and God the Son. And so they were already trying to defeat the truth of the gospel, that is the good news. And when we call this a gospel according to John, it's the good news according to John the apostle, the beloved apostle. And so this good news had in it as an integral part of it the fact that Jesus the Christ was Jesus, God's Son, and the very God Himself. Not only the Son of God, but God the Son. And this is what he's putting forth in these two verses. Now, he's going to get in a little deeper in verses 3, 4, and 5 that we've already read, and we will hold that till our next study, as we see the work of Christ prior to his incarnation, prior to his first appearance in flesh from the time of babyhood on. And so we'll look at that as we recover and return next time.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.